You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, coming to you live from a blizzard. We've got a full-on blizzard in effect here in Mankato. The streets and everything are, they're trying to shut everything down. The bus system is going down. The campus has been closed down. I had to break into the studio, break glass, and jump into the studio to get this show live. And Mitch is coming to us live over the phone. So through shine or storm, the Locked On podcast is going to be made and going to be produced and put onto the airwaves.
The dedication is definitely, I hope, appreciated by all the listeners.
it's at an all-time high today. It was some rough conditions, but we have to talk about the Timberwolves, because it seems like today of all days, the Minnesota sports fan base needs to get their minds off of some things and talk about a successful basketball team.
Yeah, last night was definitely a rough one for Minnesota fans and watching that Vikings game, but kind of turning the page there, you still have a very successful a Vikings team, and there's definitely a Timberwolves team, a very successful Wolves team, and there's a lot to look forward to, that's for sure.
A Wolves team that, just jumping right into it, won a game against a very, very good Toronto Raptors without Butler.
Yeah, that was probably one of the, I would say, most complete team wins of the year. I mean, you had some kind of you had players off the bench, specifically Georges Hunt, that kind of came in, and they were kind of the unsung heroes to an extent that were very unexpected, that filled in nicely for the players that were out in Jimmy Butler and Jamal Crawford. But you did have that duo, kind of what we've seen, really what we saw a lot last year after Zach LaVine went down with his ACL injury, of Towns and Wiggins kind of just taking over games because basically they had to. And that's a good sign that, Minnesota has those extra options for when a Jimmy Butler or even Jamal Crawford, that spark off the bench, when those two players are out, they do have those extra players that, that can come in and can step up. So that, that's the beauty of this Wolves team, and having more than one option is, your depth will get tested throughout the year, and Minnesota's did the other night against Toronto, and they responded really well, which was a very impressive win.
We'll get to the injuries and what's going on there and what that means for tonight's game against the Clippers in L.A., but we should talk about Wiggins right away, because 29 points, he shot 52%, and he got to the free throw line a few times. Really good showing from him across the board, had the five rebounds. Just really, this is the game you really needed from him when you're down Butler and Jamal Crawford, and he's putting together a fairly, he still has some up and down to his game, but he's putting together a fairly solid January, rebounding well from this terrible December and end of November. I would say it's a fairly solid rebound with some of the games that he's had in January, and just a huge showing from one of your studs. He's getting a max contract. One of your stars on the team really showed up when the team needed him most with Butler out, and it was a very different Timberwolves team from the one we saw when Butler was out the first time with the illness against the Pistons and the Pacers. Just such a different squad. This team has weathered very nicely over the course of a season is what the overall takeaway I took away from this game.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you have kind of a sense that, I don't want to say that Wiggins wasn't comfortable right away, because, it is a very, a kind of a similar team to the extent of what role that he plays in. That, obviously they're adding another, a stud like Jimmy Butler that gets thrown into the mix, will kind of, kind of shake things up a little bit. And I think that's kind of what happened with Wiggins. But he just seems like, he's comfortable in his role now. That's a key thing, heading forward for the Wolves, that, when they do, like I said earlier, when they do have a player like Butler that does go out, you need someone like Wiggins or even Towns. I mean, Towns was even struggling, so Wiggins was kind of the focal point for the Wolves for the majority of the first half. And he stepped up, and that's a very encouraging thing to see from him, that, you know, that kind of Wiggins is still there, and that we still see a lot of the things that we did see last year, even, you know, his first couple of years in the league. So, you know, it was very encouraging. Hopefully, you know, that's not just a Toronto thing. You know, obviously he plays well against Toronto, and he kind of hits another gear when the Wolves are playing the Raptors. So hopefully that's not just a one-time thing that we'll see. But, you know, hopefully that carries over for the rest of the year. And, you know, definitely, especially when Butler does come back, hopefully we see a lot of the similar things from Wiggins, definitely.
Speaking of, impressive performances, that was a disgusting dunk that Wiggins threw down. And what was it, the second quarter, I think it was? That was the yam that he put down over basically everybody in the paint that was on the Toronto team. That was real nasty, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, one thing that kind of surprised me too. I was watching the TV broadcast of Dave Benz and Jim Peterson on Fox Sports North, and they were talking about how, you know, I personally didn't realize this until they said it, that Wiggins really hasn't had one of those signature dunks or one of those big time throwdowns as he did in the Raptors game, really since the Wolves played Miami earlier in the year.
Yep.
Which, you know, kind of speaks to, you know, the kind of confidence that Wiggins has regained, and, you know, the how comfortable he is right now. It might seem like a small, you know, little detail of, you know, it's just a dunk, but, you know, that goes a long way with Wiggins, and just seeing that energy that he did have against the Raptors. That's an important thing, and that'll definitely be important heading, you know, into the second half of the year and continuing the second half of the year for Minnesota.
Well, and other impressive performances in that game, Karl-Anthony Towns, again, just I think if you look up consistency in the dictionary, it says Karl-Anthony Towns double-doubles, because another 22-10, just consistently, you know what you're going to get from him on both sides of the glass from game to game now. And it's just... it's so helpful to go into a game and know that he is going to produce that double-double night in and night out, especially just rebounding-wise. He's starting to really kind of come into his own offensively, too. He had the three offensive rebounds. I'm pretty sure he's averaging about three of those a game now. He had three in this game. I'm pretty sure he's averaging right around three a game as far as the offensive rebounds. Taj Gibson had a pretty solid game, 14 points, 8 rebounds. He had 3 offensive rebounds as well. Those second chance points were big. And I thought it was really impressive for the Timberwolves to weather the storm of Kyle Lowry. He had 40 points in this game, mm-hmm. shot 60% from downtown. And DeMar DeRozan had a fairly solid game as well, 20 points for him and 5 assists. But 40 points from Lowry, not to be shaken by that, and not to let anybody else really have a monster game as well. I mean, if you let a guy like Ibaka or Valanciunas really go off in this game, Valanciunas had 0 points. If you let another guy really find a stride throughout this game, then you're hosed. But to be able to have a guy like Kyle Lowry, an all-star level caliber player, have 40 points and weather that was really impressive, especially without Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Lowry, he played at another level the other night, and, you know, that – It kind of seemed like I personally didn't realize this. You know, I don't watch a ton of Kyle Lowry, admittedly, but, you know, he is very, very quick. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, regardless of who was guarding him, whether it was Jeff Teague or Tyus Jones throughout the game, Kyle Lowry was just blowing past them, it seemed like. And, you know, he was getting to the rim, doing whatever he needed to. He was hitting from deep. He was really doing it all for Toronto. And, you know, that was quite a... a special performance from him, and, you know, it was very impressive to see that out of him. And, you know, like you said, if they do have another, you know, player go off, or, you know, spread out, you know, obviously DeMar had 20 points in the game, but, you know, if they have another player go off that, you know, even throws up 10 points, you know, that makes a huge difference in this game, and, you know, probably carries Toronto over Minnesota. So, you know, the fact that, you know, you'll have those players, you know, Minnesota's seen this quite a bit this year. You'll have those players that, you know, kind of go off. But if you can try and contain the rest of the team, you know, they seem like they can escape with a win. But back to, I wanted to quick go back to when you were talking about Karl-Anthony Towns. You know, the first half, you know, obviously he was in foul trouble, only played a little over 8 minutes. I mean, he had no points. He was held scoreless in the first half, didn't shoot at all in the first half, and he only had one rebound. And, you know, obviously he finished the game with, he finished it with 22 and 10, which obviously means he had 22 and 9 in the second half. So, I mean, that the way that he was able to bounce back in playing, you know, just over 27 minutes, and, you know, him bouncing back and having a double-double, especially with that first half performance and kind of being held in check in the first half while fighting through foul trouble, you know, that is very encouraging to see. And you know, that he definitely took the game over in the second half, which is what we were normally been able to see out of Jimmy Butler. So once again, you know, it is nice to see those guys step up, you know, kind of, you know, as especially as well as Kyle Lowry was playing, and as well as, you know, the two-headed snake of Lowry and DeRozan, as well as they were playing, you know, the two-headed monster of Towns and Wiggins were fighting back on the other end. So it was a fun game, and, you know, it was definitely a great win, a key win for Minnesota.
No, yeah, and it was nice, too, because Wiggins came out strong right away in that first half. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see almost a little bit of a handing off of a baton from Wiggins to Towns to finish out that game. And just to have Wiggins come out strong but not need to keep shooting or keep being the dominant guy throughout even an entire game. I thought that was nice to have those two guys kind of playing off each other. You talk about the point guard position too. I think that speaks to the defense of the team to kind of have Teague just get really beat badly in this game. And he did have 10 assists, so he was able to make it up in other areas. But defensively, he was beat fairly badly by Kyle Lowry. But now the defense is shored up to the point where you don't have other guys like a Valanciunas or Ibaka really having a big night. And so it's okay to kind of let the offense funnel through one guy because you only have that one guy really hurting you. So it just looked like a far more mature team than the one we saw play the Pacers when Jimmy Butler was out.
Yeah, and the thing you saw too a lot with you know, Lowry obviously was trying to, you know, it was kind of desperation time late in the game the other night when they when the Raptors were falling behind. You know, Kyle Lowry was just kind of, you know, trying to do whatever he could to keep Toronto into the game. But, you know, the thing is, whenever it seemed like whenever Lowry, you know, would go down and hit a shot, you know, and you saw this a lot out of Georges Hunt specifically, but Minnesota answered back by, you know, slowing things down, getting, bringing ball back to the other end and getting to the line. You know, they drew a lot of fouls late in that game, which I thought was key. Even if they aren't making that game, they're slowing the pace down, mm-hmm. trying to, you know,
42 attempts abrupt from the free throw line.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And they were, you know, it kind of seemed like they were trying to abrupt that, you know, that rhythm that Lowry was trying to create late in the game to try and get Toronto back into the game. So that was another thing that, you know, I thought was pretty key in the game. And like you said, they doubled Toronto's free throw attempts with 42, and Toronto had 21. So that's a big difference. That made a big difference in the game, and I think that was very key late on in that game.
No, yeah, overall very encouraging. We should get to the injuries. First, we're going to have a quick break from our sponsors, but then we will talk about some of the injuries on the Timberwolves. First of all, do you think that Jimmy Butler, I haven't seen any updates yet. As we were talking about, kind of preparing for the show beforehand, haven't seen anything yet. Haven't seen any updates on the internet yet. They are out in LA right now, the Timberwolves, to play the Clippers tonight, but haven't seen anything on Jimmy Butler yet. And of course, on Jamal Crawford, he was out as well. Do you think they play tonight? And if they don't, now this team has Blake Griffin. They have able to put together some nice wins, most notably against the Rockets to get back into the playoff picture. How big of an impact is it if Butler's out against a Blake Griffin-led Clippers?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, I don't want to speculate as far as, you know, the seriousness of the injury. You know, it kind of seemed like it was one of those things where, you know, he's just bothered by this right now, and, you know, it's better off to keep, you know, in the long haul, to keep, you know, him sidelined until he is 100% healthy, because, you know, this isn't something you want to mess around with, especially with the kind of minutes that, you know, that he is playing. So, you know, actually, I'm actually looking right on Twitter right now. We're breaking news on the podcast. Alan Horton of the Timberwolves says that Tibbs reported this morning that Butler and Crawford are both out tonight against the Clippers. So that,
oh, man,
that definitely changes things for Minnesota. You know, that that kind of, you know, raises my eyebrows a little bit as far as the seriousness, I guess, you know, as, you know, the seriousness of those two injuries. Obviously, that's a big blow for Minnesota. But you look at the other end with Los Angeles, and, you know, they're dealing with it's equal as many, if not more, injuries than what Minnesota is dealing with. Obviously, they have, you know, DeAndre Jordan out. They have Austin Rivers out. You know, Patrick Beverley obviously has been out for a while. Gallinari is going to be out for a little while. So they do have a lot of key pieces missing. You know, they still obviously do have Blake Griffin, like you said, and he's obviously a key piece to their team, and as well as Lou Williams. He's kind of been lighting it up as of late for them. So, you know, it makes a huge difference. I don't have to be the one to tell you that it makes a big difference when Jimmy Butler is on the floor. But, you know, that I guess that with him being out tonight, that just means that, you know, Wiggins and Towns are going to have to step up like they did against Toronto, which they definitely are capable of. But it'll be a tougher test now for Minnesota, especially now that they hit this three-game road trip. That'll be a tough stretch for them.
The problem is that Lou Williams is going to take advantage of, and you saw it against the Raptors. They went 15 for 32 from downtown. Lou Williams is going to be able to take advantage of the three-point shooting that the Timberwolves still kind of give up on a game-to-game basis for the most part, especially with Butler out. And that's going to be a tough thing for them to try and combat, because not only do the Clippers try and pick up the pace a little bit, they got a lot of young guys who are kind of helping with the pace that are getting minutes now that usually doesn't happen on a Doc Rivers team. And you have Blake Griffin back to kind of attack Towns or Gibson in the paint. And now you have Lou Williams, who's just hitting basically everything that he shoots from, especially from outside. This kind of really exposes a weakness for the Timberwolves as far as three-point shooting defense.
Yeah, that's one of the areas that they've kind of, I guess, struggled with this year is, you know, they do allow teams to, you know, hurt them from deep. You know, and that's kind of been, they've basically lived or died from, you know, the opponent's ability to shoot from beyond the arc. And that's, you know, when you have a team like the Clippers or even, you know, the Warriors that the Wolves will be facing in a few games. When you face teams like that, or even Houston like they did the other night, you know, you have to be able to hold those teams in check from beyond the arc. And if they are hitting, you have to answer with threes on the other side. So that has been an area that Minnesota has struggled with this year. And, you know, that's also the importance of, when Jamal does come back, and you know, you have Bielitsa obviously coming off the bench tonight. He probably will be starting with Butler and Crawford both out. But, you know, those two players coming off the bench and their ability to shoot from beyond the arc, that's huge for Minnesota. If they're hitting, you know, that definitely adds a different aspect to this Timberwolves team. And, you know, that's something that they got to figure out, whether that's, you know, from within, you know, trying to figure out who's going to step up in that category, or if they're going to reach out and grab somebody via the trade market to help with their three-point shooting. So that's definitely something they need to address, not just on their end with how well they're shooting, but like you mentioned with, you know, defending the three and kind of holding teams in check. Because if they can do that, they'll definitely be a scary team for sure.
Well, and it's the thing that really bit them against the Clippers the first two games that they've played them. And that one was without Blake Griffin. And Blake Griffin, all-star level talent, and just got the max himself in the offseason. He definitely changes things for this team, and he adds a level of kind of diversity on their offense that they just didn't have the first couple of games against the Timberwolves.
Right, yeah, and yeah, I, you know, it'll be interesting. I would assume that Taj is on Blake tonight, with, you know, kind of him and maybe Taj and Towns kind of splitting that duty or those duties. But you know, I would it'll be interesting to see how Minnesota attacks them. You know, obviously Blake can hurt you basically from all over the floor, not to mention his athleticism once he gets in the paint. So he's definitely a dangerous player, and, you know, when you have the mix of that, and like you mentioned, Lou Williams with his ability to hurt you from the outside, you know, even though this Clippers team does have their fair share of injuries right now, they, you know, this will definitely be a tough test, especially on the road. Obviously, it's not easy to win on the road, regardless of who you're playing. So, you know, it'll be a tough test for Minnesota, mainly defensively. You know, obviously they're able to, you know, score with the best of them in the league, but it's just a matter of, you know, how they're holding a team in check on the other end, or on the defensive end of the ball. So that'll definitely be a key area. And, you know, if they can keep kind of like, you know, going back to the Toronto game, if they can hold one of those two guys in check, those two guys being Blake Griffin and Lou Williams, that, you know, that'll be huge. If they, you know, if they can hold Blake Griffin in check and kind of let Lou Williams, if he does go off for, say, 30, you know, that's still, you know, that's mission accomplished in my mind for Minnesota entering this game. So, you know, that'll be big. That'll be a big thing to watch. You know, obviously Blake Griffin is a very key aspect to this game, and that definitely should be a focal point for Minnesota, definitely.
Just because we're trying, we always try to stick to the facts and the numbers here. For exact numbers, in the month of January, Lou Williams, 30.1 points per game, hitting 40.7% of his three-point shots. So he is going to be really dangerous. One of the guys that you hear about making one of those late season pushes to be on the All-Star team, he was definitely one of the big names there as far as on the bench, one of the guys making a real push right before the All-Star game. But yeah, just it's going to be really, really tough defensively for the Timberwolves with Jimmy Butler out, obviously. But Blake Griffin just – I know that – two wins against the Clippers kind of gives you some comfort, but Blake Griffin really changes the dynamic of what this team does. And two, just it's hard to know who to put against him just because I think Taj Gibson just doesn't have the speed for him. And so you hope that that Towns can pitch a perfect game kind of defensively against Blake Griffin. We're going to get to predicting scores into Mitch's love-hate segment, but first, one more break from our sponsors. Alrighty, so before we get to the love-hate segment from Mitch, as we do every Monday, we're going to do a little predicting with Butler now. Now Butler is officially, we can say that he's going to be ruled out of this game, and you said Jimmy or Jamal Crawford will be as well. What do you think for this game? You think the Timberwolves can pull out another win despite having those two out, or is this one just too much for them to handle on the road against what looks to be, again, a good Clippers team now that they are actually back in the playoff hunt?
You know, I think, you know, it'll definitely, obviously the Butler and Jamal Crawford, you know, those two being out, that definitely changes. That adds a dynamic to this game that many didn't think we'd have to deal with. But, you know, I think the biggest factor for Minnesota outside of the defense is the play of Andrew Wiggins. Because like you said, we talked about earlier, you know, Towns is that constant, you know, he's always a double-double 20-10 kind of guy. So you expect those same numbers out of him. But, you know, the key factor in really what Minnesota's been doing all year is Andrew Wiggins and how well he's performing. So if Wiggins can have the type of game, I know this might be asking a decent amount out of him, but if he can have the type of game that he had the other night against Toronto and that win, you know, I think Minnesota comes away with a win. Because you will have, you know, Towns dropping that 20-10. You'll have Taj with a near double-double. You'll have hopefully Jeff Teague with, you know, similar numbers that he had the other night with maybe around, you know, the double-digit point mark. But, you know, the Wiggins is that big factor in how he, you know, how he attacks this game and how well he does. But, you know, I as far as, you know, what I think the outcome of the game will be, you know, I think that, you know, whenever Minnesota enters into these, what seems like to be a shootout game that ends up playing out poorly for them, you know, I think if they can mainly hold, you know, like I said before, one of the two, Lou Williams or Blake Griffin in check, I think they do come out with a win. You know, I think it'll be a high-scoring game. You know, I think Minnesota wins by maybe a possession or two. But, you know, I think this will be a big tone setter for this road trip. Obviously, they have a three-game road trip starting off tonight, going on through this week. So, you know, I think that they do come out with a lot of energy, whether that be the first quarter or even, you know, the third quarter like they have. But I think Minnesota narrowly edges out a win, but I think it'll be a high-scoring game for sure.
It's gonna be tough.
What do you think?
I think I gotta give the edge to the Clippers. I think that it's really, with the injuries that they've sustained early on the season, I think it's really desperation time. You see a team here who I believe really wants to go to the playoffs still. And so I think they look at games like this where you have a star like Butler out for the Timberwolves and they're on the road, and the Clippers, you're at home, you have Blake Griffin back, Lou Williams is on this tremendous run. I think they just look at this game as a must-win game, just because I really don't think the Clippers could win with the full complement of players that the Timberwolves have if they are healthy. So they look at this game as kind of a desperation must-win game, because at 23-22, they're right at the eighth seed. The Denver Nuggets and Utah Jazz are really right there with them. I know the Utah Jazz are 19-27, but I mean, you know how fast that can turn around in the NBA over a couple weeks. If you have a bad couple weeks, that can turn around really quickly, and Utah can be right back in it again. So I think they look at this game as a must-win game and something where they really need to pull out a win, and so they just go really up-tempo pace. They really try to go and get a ton of transition baskets. And you see guys like a Harrell or a Juwan Evans off the bench, young guys like that, kind of make the difference when the roster is a little thin for the Timberwolves. And so I see them making this a high-scoring game. I think Lou Williams has a really big third quarter, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring game that the Clippers edge the Timberwolves out. And so, I just think that the Clippers are really desperate for this win, and the Timberwolves can stand to lose this game, and it's not going to kill them. And so I just think this is a game where the Clippers really need, and they're going to end up with a W.
Well, you look at too, the Clippers are coming off a loss. I think it was 2 nights ago, possibly, or maybe
they played the Jazz on Saturday. It was a 123-117, I believe it was, a loss to the Jazz.
Right, and you look at that game. Sure, Utah got Rudy Gobert back in that game, but that is a struggling Jazz team right now too. And I you would sense that LA comes out with a sense of urgency and kind of energy in this game, trying to bounce back from that win. But I think. The story for Minnesota, or kind of the factor that what Minnesota's done well in the last maybe handful of games or dozen games that they've played, is the game has been telling by how Minnesota comes out in that first quarter. As far as the energy that Minnesota comes out with, obviously they've a lot of the games that they've won, they've started off strong in that first quarter. They've came out with energy in the first quarter, so I think that will be a very that'll be a very telling sign how the game starts off for Minnesota, and for both sides especially. But that first quarter will be key for both sides, and how, who sets the tone early and who kind of comes out with a sense of urgency and some energy. And if Minnesota does that, I think they'll do well, because they are a team, which hasn't been, or wasn't the case last year at all, but they are a team this year that, they've started each half out pretty strong, and I think that if they can do that, they'll come away with the win. But like you said, that transition offense and that transition fast break play of LA will definitely be something to watch for.
For sure, it's going to be an uphill battle for the Timberwolves either way, just being on the road without Butler and Jamal Crawford in the lineup. All right. Now it's that special time of week where Mitch gives us his love-hate segment, what he loved, what he hated from the last week of Timberwolves basketball.
Well, I got to give some love to Marcus Georges Hunt, obviously, with him being able to – he hasn't got a lot of airtime for whether it be on TV, podcasts, or whatever it may be. But, the way that he stepped up the other night, and, obviously Butler and Jamal Crawford out tonight, he's going to have to – step up in some key minutes again against the Clippers. So, obviously he had, career high 12 points in almost 30 minutes against the Raptors. And, he played a lot of key minutes in that second half, especially in that fourth quarter. So that's a good sign for Minnesota to have, they have that type of talent and that guy that can come in when they need him to, obviously with Bielitsa, jumping into the starting lineup. Due to those injuries, Georges Hunt will see some expanded minutes coming off the bench. So, he's been doing a lot of good things. He did a lot of good things against the Raptors, which, he will be another, a key thing for Minnesota and going against the Clippers with those injuries once again. So, got to give a little bit of love to Georges Hunt, and hopefully we can continue to see that play from him. Switching over to hate, not necessarily hating this, but, you know, it's going to be a tough stretch for Minnesota, you know, starting off with this week. You know, they're obviously taking on L.A. tonight, you know, tough test against the Clippers. And then they, you know, they head to Portland on Wednesday before they finish up the road trip against Golden State on Thursday in the second night of a back-to-back. So that those two games later on in the week will be, you know, a tough test for Minnesota, and that's, you know, that'll be a nice measuring stick to kind of see where Minnesota's at, you know, coming off of a win against the Raptors the other night. So, you know, Minnesota does hit a, you know, an easier stretch after that with Brooklyn and Atlanta. But, you know, this will be a tough test for Minnesota, and, you know, hopefully they are able to, you know, get those guys, mainly Butler and Crawford, healthy, especially heading into that back-to-back. But hopefully they can get those guys healthy as soon as possible, because they are, you know, with this little stretch here, this little road trip, three-game road trip, and then, you know, the beginning of February, this is a tough stretch for Minnesota, and they'll need everyone healthy and ready to go for sure.
Can we play Golden State anywhere but the Oracle, please? Like, geez.
They can come to Minnesota.
Oh, my gosh. That's just, especially after having to play Portland on the road, now you have to go to the Oracle again for the second time.
Right.
That really sucks. Yeah. Hopefully Butler can be back for at least that game, because if they have to go without Butler to Portland, Wiggins and Towns are going to be ragged. They're going to be ragged by the Warriors game.
Right, and, you know, that it's tough enough to play, you know, Golden State on the road, and, you know, any time the schedule, but to be playing them, you know, on a second night of a back-to-back after playing a team like Portland, but, you know, that'll be a tough test. You know, that's definitely going to be a tough test for Minnesota, and, you know, they are going to, hopefully, if he's healthy enough, they're definitely going to need Butler back for that game.
No, that's a great point, too. What is that? Where's the Sacramento Warriors back-to-back, huh? Come on. Let's go, NBA. What's going on here with the schedule?
Yeah, they're making up for it, I guess, with a Brooklyn-Atlanta two-game stretch after that, which I guess with, you know, the last game Minnesota played against Brooklyn, that's not so much of an easy game, but, you know, that's a little bit easier than, say, Portland-Golden State back-to-back on the road.
Yeah, no, for sure. That'll be a tough stretch. Hopefully they can come out of it cleanly. That's it for us here in the storm. Another Locked On Wolves podcast, despite a blizzard going down. I don't even know if I'll be able to get out of the studio. The doors might literally be so piled up with snow that I might just be trapped here for the rest of the day.
Well, we'll do a storm podcast this evening.
Sounds like a plan. After the Clippers game, we could do another podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Mitch.
No problem. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On.